Well, folks, can you imagine the horror of having to go and live there on the taxpayers' dime? That the Tory government would force you out of an area like Hackney or Tower Hamlets and make you go and live there at taxpayer expense against your will? The horror of it all. Those goddamn Tory bastards. Hello in there, folks. So the Tory government has started stripping people of their citizenship and deporting them. And I first noticed this last week with Shamima Begum, or whatever she was called, the terrorist, from ISIS terrorist. And they said that she was, because she had Bangladeshi descent, she can't come back to Britain anymore. She's been stripped of her citizenship. And now they're doing it to sort of gang-banging criminals from Jamaica. And even if they arrived in the country, it's like as a young child, they're being sent back. And I mean, obviously, I think it's great, but at the same time, it's the Tory government, so expect a knife in the back further down the line. But you know, there's nothing wrong with enjoying the moment, and there's especially nothing wrong with enjoying the hysterics and the Guardian. And here we've got Britain's most prominent black grifter, David Lammy, who's in the Guardian, absolute spitting feathers about this stuff. And the headline says, 2 years after Windrush, we're deporting people who've only known Britain as home. I mean, even in the headline, it's a kind of crap, because he's always saying that they never feel home here. He's always saying that they're oppressed and they face racism. And this is what I think's funny about this whole thing, which we'll get into. Again, I haven't done one of these for a while because there's not that many hysterical articles up at the minute. But we've got one here, and I mean, let's jump in. He says, this is a story. So this is David Lammy's story of, like, this is his depiction of one of these Jamaican immigrants who's been deported. And he says, TJ told me he was the victim of County Line's grooming and compelled to carry drugs. I'm sure he did. I'm sure he did. I'm sure the pressure came on hard for TJ there. He had no choice but to be a drug dealer. This resulted in a single drugs-related offence and a 15-month conviction, which he served 7 months in 2015 when he was 19. Since he was released 5 years ago, despite never reoffending, TJ has been terrified of being deported. He has only visited Jamaica once before and said even then he found it too hot and wanted to come home. It's too hot, David. It's too hot. It's like it reminds me that the Charles Dickens wrote a book called Little Dorrit, and at the end of the book, little spoiler alert, Little Dorrit died. And I read it a long time ago, and it just, like, the sort of the mournful tone, it was ridiculous. It went on for page after page after page, and Oscar Wilde wrote it. And he made a famous kind of line, and he said, one would have to have a heart of stone not to burst out laughing when Little Dorrit died. And it's the same here, the way he's trying to paint this picture of TJ, the innocent little black lad who was bullied into doing drugs, and who only been to Jamaica once before, and it was too hot, and he wanted to come home. You'd have to have a heart of stone not to burst out laughing at TJ getting deported for good back to Jamaica. He says, every single one of the men has already served the sentence the judge deemed appropriate for their crime. Each has endured additional time in immigration detention centres, and now these men will receive a third punishment. Complete ostracism from their communities, which in some cases became a death sentence. The Guardian revealed that at least five people had been killed after being deported to Jamaica since the Windrush scandal was exposed. So there's others in the past have been deported. and they've been promptly murdered once back in Jamaica. So let's just wrap our heads around this for a second. They're pretty much admitting here in The Guardian and David Lammy that Jamaica is a shithole and that you've got a very high likelihood of being murdered and robbed on the streets if you live there. So by that rationale, we have to ask ourselves, what are the people in who live in Jamaica actually like? And do we want them here? And if we bring them here, are they going to be prone to being criminals themselves? Well, it kind of looks like it, doesn't it, David? It kind of looks like we do. So we've imported criminals from a country which is, as you say here, very prone to criminality, and you're complaining that we're going to send them back. You'd rather that they just ran riot to be criminals amongst all of us, stabbing the British public. I mean, come on, eh? If this flight goes ahead, at least 41 British children will be deprived of their fathers. To quote somebody else who got into an argument with these people, I highly doubt that. I highly doubt that any of these blokes who's being deported are in much contact with their children. This is a statistical probability. It isn't 100% fact. I'm not saying it's all, but statistically speaking, it's highly doubtful if they play much of a role in the lives of their kids. What problems like this will create in their own lives, and who exactly is splitting up families and supposed to help? I mean, they can always go back, can't they? They can always go back to Jamaica to live on. I mean, at the end of the day, it is like a pretty beautiful tropical island, but I think we'll get into that in a bit. The government's decision to ignore the recommendations shows it is not sorry. It has little regard for the lives it has ruined and will keep making the promises, making the same mistakes. Much of this is because it fails to confront the legacy of the empire. So here we get into the real problem, don't we, David? Yes, here's the problem, kid. You spend your career shitting all over us and saying that what we get here is a situation where when they're on the back foot, well, then his constituents and the people he represents, the ethnic, in this case, it's the, what do you call them, Afro Brits or whatever, Jamaicans, Africans, the blacks, then all of a sudden, you're always at our throat. You're always complaining about these lines that certain other groups have handed you from, other minority groups who are very intellectually prone, and especially on the left, have handed you a bunch of talking points, and then you regurgitate that and sort of barf them all over the faces of the white British, and you do it gleefully. And then, when, because the Tories are up to some of their tricks, which I'll get into in a bit, then when you're on the back foot, you're going to play a victim, and you're going to roll out TJ, who was innocently groomed into being a drug pusher and who doesn't like warm weather, and you're going to prattle on about all the families. But the thing is, we don't care anymore, because the ideology that you've been stuffing in our faces for years has kind of numbed us to your pain, in the same way that you all these ethnic grifters are numb to the issues which concern us. I mean, for crying out loud, David Lammy called out Stacey Dooley for helping African kids because it was a white saviour. I mean, in this case, maybe I could speak out on behalf of these lads who are being deported, because I think they are being scapegoated. I think the Tory government is aware that there's a lot of unrest and a lot of tension in the country, and that they have taken a look at the various different ethnic groups, such as the Muslims and the you-know-whos, and they have decided that if they want to let some steam out of the kettle, if they want to calm tensions down, they need to throw a bit of meat to the populist mob. And what they've decided to do is look at some of these black criminals, and they say that this is the easiest option. We'll throw a few of these under the bus, and it'll probably satiate the wrath of the working class mob who are baying for blood. And in that way, they're being misdirected, because as far as being organised and having political power goes, the blacks are far less organized than, let's say, certain Muslim groups. So that's my take on this. I never trust the Tories on any of this. It's just that I think they're more skillful at being deceitful than the Labour Party. But just to get back to the point, in a superficial way, it's good to see them triggered like this, and it's good to see these ideas entering the discourse. And so, despite having that view that it is they are being set up, I'm still quite happy about it because people are beginning to talk about deportations and stripping people of citizenship. So the Tories aren't as smart as what they think they are. But and the one of the reasons, as I say, one of the reasons why nobody does care is because these people have been so offensive. Imagining calling out Stacey Dooley for being a white saviour because she wanted to help African kids. That was when they were on the offensive. That was when they were at their throat. And now that they're on the back foot, it's all, we're all just happy citizens living together. What's all this about? Why single us out? We've railed against the empire for years and years. Everything is a construct of the empire. And we oh, and another thing, he wants to have reparations, which would be to say, working taxpayers in Liverpool and Sunderland then hand over their money to David Lammy and his people. Is it, and then when all of a sudden you're on the back foot and there's been some people deported, then it's we're all just happy citizens living together. It's that Motton Bailey thing again. But how dare you offend Stacey Dooley? And I suppose, yeah, I could speak out on your behalf, David, but I wouldn't want to be a white saviour. I think I'm gonna just let you get on with it and let you carry on being deported because I wouldn't want you calling us a white saviour, David. So I'll catch you later, folks.